Okay, this week, back with Beth Yesterson and also with Jeff Moyer on board today, I'm Joseph Johnson, founder of Ultimate Active Concepts. And today we're going to start taking on the subject matter of nutrition, which is obviously really broad and can be an expansive kind of topic as it relates to athletes. And what we're going to try to do is simplify some of it. Kind of talk about why it's important, specifically what role it plays in the life of an athlete. Some of the things may be real obvious to people, and some of them may not be. And so we want to kind of just cover the gamut of different things that come up in terms of just diet, what you eat, and then also supplementation, when and how's it needed. There's a lot of misinformation as it relates to supplementation as well. So, with that being said, Doc, if you would, you can just take this right from the top. What is the importance level of nutrition in an athlete's diet? Because we see, you know, for the most part, there's not a ton of information as it relates to athletes. You know, bodybuilders, you know, obviously they have to be very concerned with what they eat. You know, powerlifters, not as much. Athletes kind of fall somewhere in there in the middle where we know it, it plays a role, but, you know, exactly what does that mean as far as an athlete's performance? What role does nutrition play in his day-to-day life? Could you just start from that point, Jeff?
Yeah, and I think, you know, this whole topic is so important. But yet, it has not really been studied. Everybody talks about it, and we have sports nutrition people and dietitians and what have you who talk about, you know, nutrition for an athlete. But they talk about it in general terms and not very specific. See, and this is where I kind of respect what the Russians did years ago, where they did a tremendous amount of research in this area, and they not only determined, as everybody knows, the need for good nutrition for an athlete, how it's so critical to the development the athlete's going to receive, but also how it was very specific to the different sports, or I should say to the different physical qualities that an athlete develops. Like if it's a strength athlete, you know, weightlifter, powerlifters, and so on, their nutrition is going to be substantially different from that required by an endurance athlete. And then the athletes in between, how that's going to be even different. So we have to differentiate, you know, some of these needs and then look more specifically on what each athlete needs. What's so frustrating in this area is that we find many athletes with terrible nutrition but are still good players. You know, you read about some of these guys, and, oh, yeah, I eat chicken morning, noon, and night, or I eat, you know, Twinkies or jelly beans all day long, and, you know, it's some off-the-wall kind of a thing. So when we hear about these athletes, and yet they're great athletes, we say, well, why is nutrition so important? What is always overlooked in some of this is, like, how much better could the athlete have been if he had good nutrition? And maybe just very quickly, main reason for good nutrition is that it determines what kind of development the body can get. When you work out, everybody works out and say, okay, I'm going to get stronger. So you work out and you say, okay, now in a couple of days I'm going to be able to lift a heck of a lot more weight. Well, yeah, that's true. But why? In order to lift that weight, you had to have the nutritional substrata in the body to allow the muscles to grow and get bigger or stronger. If you didn't have the right nutrition in the body, there's no way in the world you would have gotten stronger or to have enough energy to do the workout to get stronger. So nutrition cannot be ignored. And I think today, especially when we take a look at depleted nutritional value of most of our foods, then supplementation becomes important. So then we have to take a look at what kind of supplements. You know, there's a world of difference between synthetic and natural supplements. So which ones are you going to use? Which ones do you need? How often do you need them? And so on. So as you can see, there are many aspects to it, but maybe we can kind of, you know, look a little bit more closely. Like both of you work with many athletes. My athletes are only once, you know, our select individuals. I don't work with them on a regular basis, you know, every day in the gym, so to speak, or on the field. But you guys are there, so maybe you can start off and give some examples. What do you see in your athletes where not only do you know the nutrition is bad, but how it seems to be related to their performance, if you can?
Jeff, go ahead and give us some of your thoughts. I know that you've got a pretty good size group of kids that you're working with now, and I know it's come up. What kind of things are you faced with, and what questions come out of that?
I mean, with the majority of the kids these days that I've worked with, or athletes in general, you know, they're addicted to sugars and carbohydrates and the value of fruits and vegetables. There's just no value with it with families anymore. And I've had parents come to me talking about, hey, can you please speak with my athletes about how, you know, or my son or daughter, I'm sorry, about how they eat and their nutrition. And then I'll talk to the athlete, and, you know, they tell me what their parents cook for them. So it's some of it is the athlete and their nutritional habits and just eating crap, but also it also starts at home with the parents. You know, for example, here's an example of an athlete and what we did with her nutrition. She's a tennis player. She came to me. She would complain about how heavy her legs would feel after long sets. How long it would take for her legs to get back to not feeling so heavy. So without, you know, trying to get more, adding more, volume of conditioning, I first asked her to take a little diary of her nutrition to see what she eats. And lo and behold, she's heavy, very heavy on, you know, snacks and carbohydrates and very little, vegetables, fruits, or proteins. So we switched up her nutrition, got her eating a lot more green leafy vegetables and proteins and less carbs. And without adding any extra conditioning or anything like that, the problem resolved itself. So that's just one example, particularly that stands out to me with, you know, with my athletes and just how it improved her work capacity and her ability to get, you know, energy in the, you know, substrates and oxygen to her muscles just by improving the vitamins from eating healthier food choices.
Yeah, I think that's probably maybe the top thing with kids. You know, I'm talking, you know, high school, maybe a little younger, and college age as well. One of the things, I think the most important thing is it's a base of the nutrition. It's having the energy to work. If you have the energy to work out, you know, and do what you need to do, the rest of it's kind of moot. So I think if looking at it from that point of view, you know, kids, you know, less meals are made at home, number one. You know, everybody has a busy life, so a lot of meals are eaten out. There's a greater intake of carbs and processed foods now more than ever before. And also more caffeine than ever before, along with sugar. So I think that these are things that we're looking at, you know, what is good energy? Should we be relying on, you know, substitutes like sugar and caffeine to get the energy levels up? I think that the biggest thing is having a steady, you know, diet of, like what you mentioned, whole foods, ones that aren't very processed, and you know, these are not real deep scientific principles. These are obvious. You know, there's no debate on those items. And I think that, you know, starting from that point, the athlete has the energy that they need, you know, if they have body composition issues, let's say, for example, maybe they need to lose a little body fat, maybe they need to gain a little weight, there's adjustments that are made in the diet thereof. But I think the place that we start from is sustained energy levels, you know, to be able to perform, you know, good workouts. And then also, secondly, you know, some body composition issues that may come up, depending on what the athlete does. Some sports like wrestling and boxing are very dependent upon, you know, what range, weight range that the athlete is in. Sometimes, you know, if you're a lineman in football and you're in high school, odds are you probably need to gain weight, typically what the coach will want. So you've got a couple of different issues there, but I think most importantly, is to look at what's wrong with the diet. And I think the biggest thing is that the high level processed foods and the high level of consumption of sugar and then also caffeine. Doc, could you kind of comment on that? Just kind of where should the diet start from? What is the base of things that we should try to include into the athlete's diet, and we can take it from there?
Yeah, and I think you kind of hit the nail on the head when you said the trouble with the diets today, with the processed food and so on. It's a shame we need more information being perpetuated on what the foods do, and even some of the junk foods or fast foods. But see, it's getting so commonplace today. Yes, you know, how many kids, let's say, have never been in a McDonald's, for example, or a KFC, or you know, one of these fast food places, Jack in the Box, whatever. That'd be rare if you could even find an athlete who says, I've never been there. And most of the time, it's not fast food. You got to wait 15 minutes in line before you even get it. So they have to be educated. And this is where the schools could be doing a better job. Most of the health classes in the schools deal more with diseases and what have you, rather than, okay, here's how you should be eating. What are you eating? Evaluating the eating habits. At least some of the schools are now changing, you know, what they do in the cafeteria, how they're offering more foods. They're getting rid of a lot of the vending machines. And, you know, they're only offering good, healthy choices to the athletes. So these are all good signs. And I think, you know, it's a matter of more education, teaching them what need be. Like, for example, with women, we now know that many of the starches, you know, when they eat a lot of carbs, they actually convert to fat in women. So rather than the carbohydrates giving them more energy, which is, of course, that's their bottom line, but they actually create more fat in the body. And not so much in men. You know, it can happen both, you know, across the board, but we see this mostly in women. So, you know, I think all of you see some girls, gee, I'm gaining weight, I can't keep my weight down, I'm keeping my diet high in carbohydrates. Well, that's why. So we need an equal balance. No diet should be overdone in any one area. I usually try and think in terms of 40-30-30. The 40 would be related to whatever your specific sports needs are. If it's just general, then 40 should be, you know, carbohydrates and 30% fats and 30% protein. And, you know, don't think that 30% fat in the diet is too high, because fats actually give you more energy than do carbohydrates. So even though we think of carbohydrates for energy, it should be more immediate energy rather than prolonged energy. Like a long-distance runner, they should have a diet, you know, higher in fats if they train accordingly. See, now this is a beautiful relationship between training and nutrition. See, fats give you four times as much energy release per unit, you know, or breakdown of that one item. Four times as much. Carbohydrates are used up right away. So this is what happens with many long-distance runners in a marathon. You know, they do this carb loading, a lot of carbs, and they get into the race, and about 16 miles into the race, they hit the wall, they run out of energy, because all the carbs are used up. They don't have any energy left. have not taught their body to burn fat. And the more we teach the body to burn fat, the more efficient we become in the endurance events. And we can do this through training. Training is closely related to the nutrition you want to eat. If you're a weightlifter, a powerlifter, then you want to be heavier on the protein because you're trying to develop more muscle. But a regular athlete or a team sport athlete, he needs everything. He needs the energy, he needs quickness, he needs power, he needs strength, he needs muscle, he needs endurance. So this is why we want it more balanced. So the more we can separate the sports or the physical abilities, then what kind of nutrition do we need in each of these abilities? Now, we have this information. It's all available. It's got to be out there. People got to learn about it. So I think this is where things break down. Worried does not get out to everybody. Right. And this is why we see a proliferation of so many stupid diets. And I use the term loosely here. But, you know, you can't help but pick up a newspaper or magazine. Hey, there's a new diet out. This diet is guaranteed to do this. This diet will guarantee you can lose weight in 30 days. No, another one's going to be 60 days. Oh, this one's going to lose his stomach for you. You know, they go on and on. I think that's terrible. But anyway, that's beauty and need for good nutrition. It's got to be kind of specific. You know, I don't know if I answered your question there, Joseph, but I hope that, you know, takes care of some of it.
You know, I think what we kind of look at is, number one, the macronutrient content. You know, you do need, everyone's different, number one. Let's point that out. So the body, everyone's chemistry is different. The way that they use carbohydrates is different. And there's different types of carbohydrates. The more complex, slower to break down, higher in fiber, and then the simple ones, which are higher glycemic, and they break down really quickly. And they are the ones that cause probably more of what you'd call the bonking, where, you know, they add the sugar goes way up and then comes way down, and there's not a sustainable amount of energy. So from the macronutrient content point of view, it's been shown, and there's a lot of literature out now, that, you know, we want to keep the carbohydrate levels lower than what they normally would be. And we want to be more on the complex side of carbohydrates as well. The simple sugars, the high fructose corn syrups, any of the processed types of sugars that have no fiber are just no good for you, period, an athlete or otherwise. So we can rule those out right away. The balance will be predicated between the macronutrients, probably on your individual chemistry, and then also the sport or the position that you play in your sport, because there'll be different requirements there. So having gone over that, you know, we look at what types of protein. Well, obviously, you know, a lot of your chicken, beef, you know, the less processed, the better. That's gonna be you know, part and parcel of what you would be doing. And with your carbohydrates, more complex ones. Now, the amounts and the balances between the two, once again, would be predicated on various different issues. Now, some new, I don't want to say brand new, but there's becoming more of a school of thought that athletes may perform better under ketogenic conditions with really high protein, high fat, and I don't mean vegetable oil fat, but more of your olive oils, the oils and fats that are found in nuts, avocados, so on and so forth. Exactly, that these could be used as better sources of energy. So there's been a couple books out there. I think Jeff Bollock has a book on it. John Kiefer has a book on the subject of carb cycling. So you got all these ideas. Now, you mentioned earlier, you know, Jeff, with the vegetables and leafy greens, one of the things that has become kind of more talked about too is what's in our food, in our vegetables nowadays. What is the micronutrient content, the mineral and vitamin content of Bernard Jensen, and I can't remember the name, where they talk about the difference in the values of foods today as opposed to 50 years ago. And Doc, I know you know a lot about this, so if you would kind of comment on what's available in our diet today that that's different than 50 years ago.
Right. The main thing, 50 years ago, it was basically all organic type farming. But with the advent of, you know, fertilizers, synthetic or chemical fertilizers, this changed everything. It was a lot faster, easier, and more economical to just use the chemicals. Well, by using the chemicals all the time, in time, it depleted the soil of the good nutrients. See, the chemicals only required, you know, the use of some of the big items like nitrogen and so on. So, sure, that gave it fast growth, but it didn't have the nutritional value that the food in the old days did. This is where organic farming today is really the only way to go, not only for, you know, nutrition, but also for the land. They blame some of this, not the original Dust Bowl, but even one of them later on, was because of the land. It was so depleted of some of the nutrients that it was supposed to be, that it's supposed to have, that when the winds came, there was nothing to hold everything together. And this is why they lost so much topsoil. But I don't want to get into that. But the key element is the foods don't have the nutritional value. This is the key. And this is why we need supplementation. And it doesn't mean we need just to supplement everything or just take it willy-nilly. Supplementation is needed to supplement. What the word means, we have to supplement the diet. Soviet research, and I think it's brought out in the book Secrets of Russian Sports Fitness and Training, they found that the best diets in the world, no matter how good they were, did not supply all the necessary nutrients needed for an athlete to recover after a good, strong, hard workout. So this is what led them to supplementation. And it wasn't general. Supplementation was very specific. What kind of a workout was it? And then, you know, in this sport, when you did this kind of a workout, these were the elements, minerals, vitamins, and whatnot that were used up, and which takes 3 to 4 days for the body to naturally recover. Well, that was too long to wait. To speed up the process, they use supplements to help the body recover, get back to normal. So it wasn't a way of avoiding the diet. We still need a good diet, but in addition to a good diet, we do need some of these supplements at times for recovery from workouts and to prepare for forthcoming competition. And many other values of supplementation, but maybe we can touch upon that a little bit later. Okay?
Well, with that in mind, Doc, I think one of the things that obviously comes to mind, and okay, well, what is the athlete running short on? You know, depending on the sport and the event, what are they using more or less of, and how should they make those things up? I guess the key is, and this is based upon what the Russians have discovered as well, is that normally an athlete, especially a higher level athlete, could not consume in their diet everything that they need, or be very, very difficult. And you live in different parts of the country where certain things are available certain times of year, and otherwise, some other things are not available ever. So you have the exact, you know, you're going to have these automatic deficiencies based upon where you live. And also based on, it's just impossible maybe to take in everything that you need. So if we're having a good diet where we're trying to consider all the different things, and we're using our basic knowledge of good proteins, decent and good complex carbohydrates, good fats, and then we're looking at our micronutrient content, our vitamins and minerals that are in our foods, and it's still not there, now what do we do? We need to look at supplementation. So we're not looking at supplementation from this hyper-performance point of view, like ergogenics, like your creatines and things like this. I think that's only there when they actually have everything else covered and they're competing on a high level. Then they start looking at ergogenics, legal ergogenics, I might add. That could be beneficial. But for the base, what do we do? What kinds of ways can we supplement? Doc, could you talk about that kind of, where should you turn? If you've got a good diet for the most part, but it's still not, you know, covering all the bases, where do you start by looking at supplementing the diet?
Okay, the very first thing I usually recommend are a good multivitamin supplement. Vitamins and minerals. These are the core elements, and we have to make sure that the body has an ample amount of these. Then we can be more specific on some of the items later on. In fact, I found many athletes, let's back up a little bit here. When we think in terms of supplements, we have to separate synthetic from natural substances. Here we get into whole food supplements versus synthetic supplements. Whole food supplements means that the supplement is made out of whole food. When you read the list of ingredients, they'll list something like carrots, beet tops, this product. They're all nutrients. We're reading about different foods. And this is what they're made out of. They process the food, they dry them, and so on. I don't want to get into the whole process. These have been perfected over the years. So these supplements are natural. The body can handle them without any problem and assimilates them in with the nutrients, vitamins, and minerals it already has. So this is how it helps the athletes. And I found most athletes, when they go on one of these whole food mineral vitamin kind of supplements, it gives them more energy and are capable of better performances. So that would be my number one. Let's go back a little bit and take a look at synthetic supplements. These are the most popular and also the cheapest. This is why many people buy them. But they do not have the same effects as the natural, mainly because the body does not like the synthetic. It doesn't know how to assimilate it. This is something foreign coming into the body. It's not the same. This is where we've been misled by chemists. You know, it's like, for example, the example I've read and I use all the time, vitamin C. Vitamin C is not just one item. It's a multitude of items. So really all of our supplements should be combinations. If you read the ingredients of the different whole food products, you'll see that they contain many different vitamins and minerals, but predominantly heavy in one or two. So this is what makes it up. Going back to vitamin C, think of it as an egg. Egg has the amniotic fluid, which surrounds the yolk. So like two different parts. Well, the chemist took a look at an egg and they said, oh, it's got a lot of ascorbic acid in it. And that's mainly the amniotic acid, or, you know, the fluid inside the egg. So they supplemented it and said, okay, here's ascorbic acid. This is vitamin C. No, it's only a part of vitamin C. But they left out all the nutrients of the yolk. And the yolk contains many other vitamins and or minerals. So if you want to have the natural full complement of vitamin C, you have to take the natural form, whole food. And what's that's kind of startling about all of this, when you use synthetic ones, they can actually rob the body of nutrients that are already in it in order to become complete. Like when you take in the ascorbic acid, it robs other vitamins and minerals in the body in order to complete itself. As a result, if you do this over a long period of time, you can be creating a deficiency in another vitamin. So that's where we have a big problem. Okay, so with that being said, we need both. And I would recommend, I deal mainly with a company, Whole Food Company, that has, I think, great supplements that I've been using for maybe 30-some-odd years. And that's Standard Process. You can look them up online and get some good information on them. But they have a product called Catalan. That would be a natural, all-around vitamin mineral. And this is what I recommend for beginners, at the beginning. Then if they still experience certain symptoms, then we look at more specific supplements that would take care of some of the symptoms.
Okay. So, as you can tell, then, you've got a lot of different things going on there that, with your best efforts to eat a great diet, still going to be things that are missing. And then you're also confronted with, okay, if we're going to supplement, what do we supplement with? What things are missing, but what are our priorities? Doc brought those things out. And then further, what about the quality of the supplement that we're bringing into the picture? Does this actually deliver on what we need? And I think one of the things that's important that Doc brought out is that, with vitamins and minerals, they're not exactly sure everything that's in, for example, vitamin C, or what's in vitamin A. They do know there's a multitude of different substances that have been identified and then other ones that have not been identified yet. So what that means to the athlete is that you want it the way that it occurs in food because it contains all of its cofactors and all of its components, whereas if we chemically tease out just one main component like vitamin E would be like a complex tocopherol. Well, vitamin E is made up of many different tocopherols. And so we want to look at it from the whole food point of view. I think this is a critical issue. And when the athlete is looking for these cheap, it's not the way to go. That's an indication that it's probably not a quality product. And you want to look for items that are not 10,000 milligrams of this, 10,000, because it doesn't occur that way in food. It's typically smaller doses, but more complete. And I think this is something that you can take away from this discussion is that vitamin and mineral supplements should not be megadoses, should not be singular substances, but a whole food complex in smaller doses. I think that's probably excellent rules of thumb as you're looking to supplement the diet. I think we'll take from here, we'll just kind of wrap up today's discussion, and we'll move into some other subject matter next week as far as, what other things can we be doing beyond the vitamin mineral complexes, maybe timing, times of day, and then also, different sports and different events, how would we approach those things from a diet point of view and also from a supplementation point of view. Jeff and Doc, do you guys have any party thoughts on this that maybe would lead us into our next week's discussion?
No.
Sorry, Doc.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I was just saying, no, that was great discussion, and you guys brought up some tremendous points that, I've tried to study as much as I can without anything that helps my athletes, and a lot of this subject matter that you guys covered is not, unfortunately, in many many books, so I look forward to our discussion next week.
Yeah, and I think the discussion next week could be quite interesting when we take a look at different sports and different requirements and different products and what they can do. So it'll be a little bit more on a practical side, not that today wasn't, but I think the combination of both and even here, if you're interested in more information on nutrients and the role they play, especially in recovery, to see some of the books that are available, especially in the Russian, from the Russian information, like sports massage, sports restoration and massage, an excellent book showing how nutrition is used in different sports for recovery. And also, if you take a look at the websites that we have, I know we're going to have we have quite a bit, and we'll be having more on nutrition on the new Dr. Yes Society, D-O-C-T-O-R, YESSIS.com. So you're welcome to take a look at these sites and get more information.
That's great, Adam. I'm excited for next week for us to go into more detail on some of these issues. I think it'll be eye-opener for a lot of different people because it's not widely known information, but extremely helpful to athletes who are trying to use diet to experience their gains for themselves.
Right.
So with that, thanks a lot, Patrick. Appreciate your time, and we'll be getting back together next week to take the discussion further.
Okay, sounds good.
Sounds good.